Radio.
The headlines this hour. Russia and Ukraine are set to hold a new round of talks as fighting rages on between the two sides in and around major Ukrainian cities. The European Union expands its sanctions against Russian banks as Moscow takes more measures to confront the bans. And Iran says its bitter experience with U.S. non-compliance and Europe's inaction has prompted Tehran to push for a reliable and sustainable agreement in the Vienna talks.
Well, welcome to the studios here in the capital, Tehran. This is News. Thanks for joining us.
It's the seventh day of Russia's military operation in Ukraine. Moscow now claims to have taken over Kherson, a southern Ukrainian port city on the Black Sea.
Russian armed forces have taken the city of Kherson under total control. Civilian infrastructure, critical infrastructure, and public transport work as usual. There is no shortage of groceries or staple goods.
Ukrainian officials deny Russia's claim and say fighting continues for Kherson. The Ukrainian army has also reported street battles in the country's second biggest city of Kharkiv, where Russian paratroopers have landed. Authorities say four people were killed in the shelling there this morning. The capital, Kiev, is also under attacks. On Tuesday, Ukraine reported the death of five people in an airstrike on a television tower in Kiev. Officials put the overall civilian deaths in Ukraine at over 2,000 so far. In fresh remarks, the Ukrainian president says almost 6,000 Russians have lost their lives, a claim that has not been verified.
Just think about this figure. Almost 6,000 Russians died. Russian servicemen within 6 days of war, a figure without enemies' losses during the past night. 6,000. To receive what? To receive Ukraine? It is impossible. It will not happen with rockets. It will not happen with bombs, tanks, any strikes.
Russia acknowledges that it has sustained losses, but so far has given no figures. The Russian Defense Ministry says its forces have destroyed over 1,500 Ukrainian military targets, including 60 planes. Ukraine denies suffering military losses on such a scale. Russia's defense minister has pledged to push ahead with the operation until all the objectives are achieved. Meanwhile, a second round of talks between Russia and Ukraine is scheduled on Wednesday. Previous talks failed to produce any breakthrough. Ukraine says Russia must stop bombing cities before meaningful talks on a ceasefire could start. Russia says that it sees no desire on the part of Ukraine to try to find a balanced solution. Meanwhile, Moscow is hit with more sanctions as the conflict between Russia and Ukraine continues unabated. The U.S. media have reported that Washington is preparing further curbs on Russian oligarchs, as well as their companies and family members. Meanwhile, the European Union has excluded seven Russian banks from the global SWIFT payment system. The bloc has also banned two major news networks, namely Russia Today and Sputnik. In recent days, Moscow has retaliated with sanctions and restrictions of its own. Moreover, experts say Russia will try to ease the pain of sanctions by taking extra measures, like relying on gold reserves and energy sales. Moscow has also warned that Germany's decision to freeze the Nord Stream 2 project could damage ties irrevocably and lead to a rapid and inevitable rise in gas prices. U.S. President Joe Biden has delivered his first State of the Union address to Congress. The conflict between Russia and Ukraine was the primary theme of his speech, during which he pledged that the West will be all united in the face of the Russian attack on Ukraine.
He thought he could divide us at home, in this chamber, in this nation. He thought he could divide us in Europe as well. But Putin was wrong. We are ready. We are united, and that's what we did. We stayed united.
Biden had some tough words for President Vladimir Putin, accusing him of launching a premeditated and unprovoked war in Ukraine. He called Putin a dictator and said that he will pay a continuing high price over the long run. Biden said that Washington, with the help of his allies, is inflicting economic pain on Russia, and he even announced a ban on Russian flights.
We're joining with European allies to find and seize their yachts, their luxury apartments, their private jets. We're coming for you, ill-begotten gains. And tonight, I'm announcing that we will join our allies in closing off American airspace to all Russian flights, further isolating Russia and adding additional squeeze on their economy.
Biden also said, and these are his own words, that Washington is choking off Russia's access to technology that will sap his economic strength and weaken his military for years to come. The U.S. president blamed his Russian counterpart for the anti-Moscow sanctions and claimed that Putin has never been so isolated. Biden said the conflict with Ukraine will leave Russia weaker and the rest of the world stronger. The Russia-Ukraine conflict is forcing tens of thousands of people to cross Ukrainian borders. According to UN estimates, roughly 830,000 Ukrainians have already fled to neighboring countries. Nearly 160,000 people are said to have crossed the border since Tuesday. The UN Refugee Agency warns that a surge in refugees could possibly reach 1 million within hours. Currently, refugees have been accepted into countries that have followed a hard stance on non-European migrants like Poland, Hungary, and Austria, among others. Meanwhile, the European Union has announced plans to give concessions to Ukrainian refugees. Some member states are even planning to grant Ukrainians protection, residency, and access to employment.
The first refugees fleeing from conflict-stricken Ukraine have arrived in northern Italy as Europe braces, the media are saying, for a major humanitarian crisis. So far, arriving refugees, who mostly comprise women, children and the elderly, have been registered in four Italian regions, namely Trentino, Veneto, Emilia-Romagna and Friuli-Venezia Giulia. In addition, scores of African-born expats have joined hundreds of thousands of people who are trying to escape Ukraine and cross into Poland and other neighboring countries. Reports have emerged suggesting that many black refugees have been subjected to racist and unfair treatment at the border with Poland.
Africans are being stopped from leaving Ukraine because of the color of their skin. It is shocking. It brings us back to the dark age of racism and intolerance against black people. I'm disgusted. Also because the media here in Italy do not cover these stories as they should.
Nigeria and South Africa have denounced such discrimination, calling on border officials in Ukraine and its neighbors to treat their nationals equally. About 30,000 Africans, mostly from Nigeria, Morocco and Egypt, reside in Ukraine. They make up more than 20% of Ukraine's international students, attracted by the country's good technical and medical schools, combined with relatively low fees.
It is a basic principle in international refugee law, as well as in all human rights law, the principle of non-discrimination, a basic principle which has to be observed by all states, also here, certainly by Poland, Ukraine and the other countries around Ukraine.
The Italian government has recently agreed to redistribute Ukrainian refugees across the European Union. Italy will likely receive 13% of the total allocation. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Mario Draghi said, while reporting to the Senate on the Ukraine crisis, that, quote, Russia's invasion of Ukraine is a decisive turning point in European history. Max Civili, Rome.
Data shows that the Eurozone inflation soared to new record high last month, mainly due to surging energy prices on the continent. The EU's official statistics agency Eurostat announced 5.8% inflation in the euro area in February, up 0.7% from the previous month. The rise comes as oil and gas prices skyrocketed due to the Russia-Ukraine conflict. European natural gas prices have hit their historic peak, while oil surged to 7-year highs amid fears of supply disruptions. Brent crude topped $113 a barrel for the first time since 2014, and U.S. West Texas Intermediate crude followed suit hours later to hit the level of 2013. On Tuesday, the International Energy Agency, which includes the U.S., agreed to release 60 million barrels of crude reserves to try and curb soaring prices. But the disruption from Russia, one of the world's top oil and gas suppliers, could send prices even higher. Turkey has implemented an international pact on naval passage to the Black Sea under the 1936 Montreux Convention. Turkey has the right to close two of its straits to warships. This 1 week after Ukraine asked Ankara to activate the international pact and to prevent the transit of Russian warships from the Mediterranean to the Black Sea. Russian Sakalem has more from Istanbul.
Turkey has closed the passage of warships through its straits of Bosphorus and Dardanelles. The decision was taken after Ankara called Russia's military action in Ukraine a war. President Erdogan said Turkey is using the authority given to it by the 1963 Montreux Convention Pact on passage of its straits to prevent the escalation of the Russia and Ukraine conflict.
Turkey is determined to use the authority given by the Montreux Convention on Turkish Straits in a manner to prevent escalation of the Russia-Ukraine crisis.
Erdogan said he was very saddened by Moscow's attack on its neighbor, describing the move as unacceptable, adding that Turkey will not abandon its ties with both Ukraine and Russia. The Turkish defense minister, in his turn, asked all sides to respect the international pact Turkey has worked by, assuring that it is Ankara's right to limit passage in the straits in wartime. Kiev had already asked Turkey to close its straits to the Russian warships. The move will prevent more Russian ships from reaching the Black Sea, from where it had launched attacks on Ukrainian southern coast. Analysts say Turkey's decision does not only help Ukraine but also Russia, as the decision prevents all warships, not only Russian ones, from crossing the straits.
Turkey is following a balanced policy between the two countries. The president already clearly stated that Ankara will not take side and stand with neither Russia nor Ukraine. However, enforcing the Montreux Convention is an international procedure, which will not affect Russia negatively, and Ukraine had already asked for it, hence Turkey will not be put in a position to choose sides. However, Turkey already rejects the Russian military action.
Turkey maintains good ties with both Russia and Ukraine, as it bought S-400 missiles from the first and sold the drones to the second, and does not seem willing to risk taking sides in this conflict. It seems that Turkey is trying to remain impartial in the conflict between Russia and Ukraine, while it's trying to mediate to end the fight, with President Erdogan making some calls and pushing for a political solution. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has made his stance clear when it comes to Russia's military operation against Ukraine. He has said that the root causes of the problem lie in the wrong U.S. policies. But while many parties have voiced concerns about the ongoing crisis in Ukraine, it's frustrating to see the double standards in place when dealing with other crises in the world, like the war in Yemen or the Israeli violence towards Palestinians and the countless deaths that they have caused.
Leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has blamed the American regime for the current Ukraine crisis. He demanded an end to the war in Ukraine, saying the Islamic Republic of Iran has always opposed war and destruction anywhere in the world. The U.S. disrupted the stability of the country by interfering in its affairs and organizing rallies and creating a color coup. We oppose the killing of people and the destruction of the infrastructure of nations. Leader called the U.S. a perfect example and manifestation of modern ignorance, saying it feeds off the crises it creates all around the world.
Washington are glorified mobsters. That's all. America does to all of its allies. You've got to remember, there's a very good saying, if you're an American enemy, they might bribe you and bring you into their team. If you're their ally, good luck to you, sir.
Ayatollah Khamenei is referring to years of U.S. meddling in Ukraine since it became an independent state in 1990s. After the fall of the Soviet Union, the U.S. pledged not to expand NATO eastward close to the borders with Russia. But the U.S. and its Western allies reneged their pledges and started to include more Eastern European countries into the Western military alliance. In 2014, the U.S. implemented a color revolution in Ukraine and overthrew its democratically elected government. U.S. also supported the inclusion of right-wing groups and elements within Ukraine's government. It's now widely believed that in trying to move Ukraine into their orbit, Washington and its European allies overextended themselves. And Russia's intervention, firstly in facilitating Crimea's reunification with Moscow in 2014, then with the official recognition of the independence and sovereignty of the People's Republics of Donetsk and Luhansk, and now with a wider military operation to demilitarize and denazify Ukraine, is the result.
Iran says the bitter experience that it has had with the U.S. non-compliance and Europe's inaction regarding the 2015 agreement has prompted it to push for a reliable and sustainable deal in the Vienna talks. The secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, made those comments during a meeting with a number of lawmakers. Shamkhani said, in addition to putting forth efforts to remove the sanctions, Iran is also focusing its strategy on neutralizing the effects of those sanctions. The lawmakers present at the session also called for the Iranian negotiating team to keep pushing so that a possible final agreement would compensate the Iranian people for the losses that they have incurred. The German chancellor says that an agreement on the revival of the 2015 Iran deal, known as the JCPOA, cannot be postponed any longer. Olaf Scholz made the comment in a meeting with the Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett in the city of Al-Quds. He added that a decision on reaching a good and reasonable accord must be taken. Iran has rejected any deadlines set by the West to restore the agreement. It has also reiterated that the JCPOA's revival hinges on political decisions by the U.S. and European signatories. Tehran wants the verifiable removal of U.S. sanctions and guarantees that Washington will not abandon the deal again as it did in 2018. The European Union is urging the Israeli regime to stop using violence against Palestinians as Tel Aviv's atrocities are taking place on a daily basis. The European bloc in a Twitter message has expressed concern about the daily attacks in the occupied West Bank. It says that Israel must stop the use of excessive force and live ammunition against Palestinian civilians. The violence against Palestinians is on the rise in the occupied territories. On Tuesday, regime forces killed three Palestinians in the West Bank. One of the victims was killed near the city of Bethlehem, while two others lost their lives in a raid by Israeli forces on the Jenin refugee camp. The Yemeni foreign minister denounces as shameful and ridiculous a UN Security Council resolution that extends an arms embargo on the Ansarullah movement. Hisham Sharaf says that the UAE proposed motion has turned the spotlight on the UN body's double standards. He added that the move shows that the Security Council serves the interests of Abu Dhabi and Riyadh that are committing acts of aggression against Yemen. The resolution was adopted on Monday. It came in the wake of retaliatory attacks by the Ansarullah movement against Saudi Arabia and the UAE. The Yemenis say that the reprisal attacks are aimed at pushing the Saudi-led coalition, which includes the UAE, to stop a war that began in 2015. The war in Yemen has claimed hundreds of thousands of lives, majority of them civilians. And that does it for this edition of World News. Bye-bye for now.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Telecommunications giant Ericsson's internal investigators uncovered charges it was involved in corruption in at least 10 countries. We now present you an article written jointly by Rob Evans and Michael Safi. The piece is titled Revealed: Leaked Files Show How Ericsson Helped Bribe Daesh Terrorists. Confidential documents have revealed how the telecommunications giant Ericsson is charged to have helped pay bribes to the Daesh Takfiri terrorist group in order to continue selling its services after the terrorists seized control of large parts of Iraq. The leak of internal investigations at Ericsson, which also found that the firm had put its contractors at risk and allowed them to be kidnapped by the terrorists, is potentially damaging for the multinational. In addition to the findings about the payments to Daesh terrorists, the investigations uncovered charges the company was involved in corruption in at least 10 countries across four continents. That would suggest a pattern of wrongdoing by Ericsson that is far wider than what the telecommunications giant publicly admitted in 2019, when it entered into a $1 billion settlement with the US Department of Justice. Ericsson, which is headquartered in Stockholm, Sweden, employs 100,000 people and sells telecommunications equipment in 180 countries. It plays a leading role in developing the next generation of 5G mobile phone technology in the United Kingdom. Recently, Ericsson's stock price plunged by 14% when, alerted to the fact that media organizations had been leaked their internal reports, it released a public statement admitting to serious breaches of compliance rules in Iraq between 2011 and 2019. Since then, the telecommunications firm has been bracing itself for the full disclosure of the reports, which were leaked to the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists, which then shared them with media partners, including the BBC, the Washington Post, and the Guardian. The leaked documents, running to 101 pages, were produced in 2019 and 2020. They record the results of internal investigations commissioned by Ericsson into the corruption by the company around the world. Investigators concluded that the multinational firm was likely to have been involved in channeling bribes to Daesh terrorists to allow its products to be transported across parts of Iraq that were held by the extremists. According to the investigators, the payments were made through a slush fund run by contractors working for the Swedish multinational. After recent questions from journalists about the leaked documents, Ericsson appears to have sought to get ahead of a public relations crisis by publishing the statement on its website, partially admitting to the investigators' findings. In the statement, Ericsson admitted the investigating team had identified payments to intermediaries and the use of alternate transport routes in connection with circumventing Iraqi customs, at a time when terrorist organizations, including Daesh terrorists, controlled some transport routes. It claimed investigators could not determine the ultimate recipients of these payments. Payment schemes and cash transactions that potentially created the risk of money laundering were also identified. The statement also conceded Ericsson employees had engaged in widespread misconduct in Iraq and committed serious violations of its regulations, including irregular payments and non-payment of tax between 2011 and 2019. Ericsson claimed it had published a statement because it was committed to transparency. Nevertheless, the telecommunications giant declined to answer multiple questions from The Guardian, from the Committee of Investigative Journalists and other media organizations, including about potential wrongdoing in several countries that were not mentioned in its 2019 settlement with the US Department of Justice. Ericsson pleaded guilty to paying tens of millions of dollars in corrupt payments through slush funds between 2000 and 2016 in the settlement. The admissions related to just five countries, but the leaked documents list evidence of corruption and wrongdoing in a further 10 countries over the past decade. They chronicle suspicious payments totaling at least $37 million in Iraq, along with a range of misconduct such as inflated invoices and paying terrorists to go on holidays to Spain and to Sweden. Ericsson was accused in the documents of being involved in corruption during the award of a contract in South Africa and acting fraudulently during the acquisition of a company in the United States. Other misconduct was identified by the investigators in Brazil, in the Republic of Azerbaijan, in Libya, and in Morocco. Ericsson and the Department of Justice declined to comment when asked if evidence of potential wrongdoing in the further 10 countries had been disclosed to U.S. prosecutors before they agreed the terms of the 2019 settlement. The U.S. Department of Justice claims it has the right to launch a new prosecution if it believes that Ericsson had not disclosed all charges of wrongdoing. After taking charge of Mosul in Iraq in 2014, Daesh Takfiri terrorists controlled about 40% of Iraq, financing the administration of the territory through a mixture of taxes, the sale of oil, and looting, until it was driven out in 2017. According to the investigators, Ericsson, which has operated in Iraq for years and sold $1.9 billion worth of equipment between 2011 and 2018, received offers from firms that were prepared to transport their infrastructure through Iraq. The multinational chose a contractor that costs more money than other firms, but promised guaranteed quicker deliveries. The documents record this premium-priced option became known as Speedway Service, in contrast to the legal way. According to the investigators, the higher cost has likely been used for bribery and payments to terrorists along transportation routes. Improper payments were also made to customs officials to circumvent border taxes. The investigators found 18 invoices that had been paid by Ericsson to one of the suppliers to transport equipment, such as mobile phone masts, on trucks through Iraq. The payments were three times higher than the normal cost of hiring these trucks, and for one consignment, it was 20 times the usual cost. After plotting the routes on a map of Iraq and noting that the infrastructure was delivered to areas held by Daesh terrorists as well as other terrorist groups, investigators concluded Ericsson may have engaged in bribery or illegitimate payments to carry out its transportation operations. The report said, although there is no firm interview confirmation of bribery, facilitation payment or potential illicit financing of terrorism, there is evidence of emails indicating illegal bypassing of customs and passing through Daesh-controlled areas in connection to transportation in Iraq. The investigators who questioned Ericsson employees and associates added, there were numerous interviews stating it was more important to do business and deliver to customers than ensuring the transportations were conducted according to laws and regulations. The total size of what the investigators call an uncontrolled slush fund between 2016 and 2018 that was likely to have been used to fund the transportation routes is not identified in the documents. But they point out that one individual was able to embezzle $308,000 from this fund. In its statement, Ericsson said that as a result of the investigation, several employees left the company and multiple other disciplinary and other remedial actions were taken. It claimed that it stopped working with a number of firms and ensured that its employees in Iraq underwent enhanced training.
Bazaar. Archaeologists discovered one of the oldest medical devices dating back 9,000 years ago. The device is a flint-tip drill and bowstrings used by Neolithic dentists in the Balochistan area of Pakistan. Nowadays, medical devices are far more advanced but carry the same importance in healthcare. Innovative products can replace, repair, and sustain failing body functions. These items can also have intelligence that allows health practitioners to remotely monitor a patient's conditions. Today, thanks to technology, there are more accessible treatments for a wide variety of diseases with more efficient care for the sick person.
Hello everyone, welcome to another edition of Bazaar, the weekly program that analyzes industries, markets, profits, and all sorts of things that connects us nationally and internationally. This time, we're going to check out the contributions of knowledge-based companies to the health sector. We wanted to see what types of products are made, plus we will briefly touch on what goes into making medical devices that save the lives of people, especially during the pandemic. Let's start the show.
To familiarize ourselves with medical device production, we visited a knowledge-based company that specializes in making advanced technology for hospitals and clinics. پویندگان راه سعادت was first established nearly 3 decades ago and has been actively producing products in 7 categories. Its products are used to monitor health or treat critically ill patients in hospitals. Among its achievements, one can name the 247 plan in collaboration with the Ministry of Health. This was a program that connects ambulances carrying patients to hospital emergency rooms. This knowledge-based company designed a portable cardiograph machine that is carried on ambulances. The advantage of these devices is they can save sensitive heart images. The information is sent directly to the emergency room for analysis as the patient is on their way. Plus, the device can receive calls and medical doctors can speak with patients and provide on-the-spot instructions. Such a system has saved thousands of lives. The research and development department holds the pulse of this company. Here, quality control checks are carried and standardization criteria are implemented. It is also where new products are born. Among its hundreds of employees, this company uses the knowledge and expertise of a slew of various engineers to make advanced products from seemingly simple ideas.
Medical devices are a fundamental part of healthcare systems. They are essential to prevent, diagnose, treat, and rehabilitate illnesses and diseases safely and effectively. Because they deal with human life, these items need to always be dependable, safe, and accurate with zero failure. That is why medical devices must follow extremely strict standards for production and also performance.
Some 20 years ago, this company obtained EU standardization licenses and has since produced its products along with European standards. It also adheres to the strict requirements of the Ministry of Health and the National Medical Device Directorate. This company has massive production halls that are closely monitored. The processes of quality control checks are taken very seriously as these tests ensure the high quality of products made in this place. Each component of any device is checked for quality before it is even applied. All stages of production are continuously examined and tested to ensure the final assembly produces the best outcome. But that's not where quality control stops. The final products are also tested and examined for accurate performance. It might be interesting to know that this company has been exporting its products to dozens of countries around the globe. This knowledge-based business has never stopped looking to the future. As part of its vision, it plans to develop its products to increase its capabilities and diversity. Moreover, it plans on increasing its export reach. As with any business when starting out, there are always challenges to overcome, and one of the hurdles for this company was the U.S.-imposed economic sanctions. But instead of allowing the sanctions to become a thorn in its side, this company turned it into an opportunity for growth. Over the past two decades, Iran has taken huge strides in the health and medical sector. In fact, Iran's medical device market is growing at a rate that is above the world average. The country is globally ranked fourth for engineering over 1,000 of its medical devices to show for it. This technological capacity has allowed the country to churn out advanced machinery used in the medical sector. Out of the 1,000 medical device manufacturers in the country, nearly 230 of them are knowledge-based firms. These manufacturers generate some 30% of revenues in medical device market. That's based on statistics from the Vice Presidency Office for Science and Technology of Iran. Going off the figures from the Medical Equipment Office at the Ministry of Health, over 2,000 different types of medical devices are domestically produced in the country. All of these products meet EU standardization requirements. To get a better idea of just how advanced this sector really is, we looked at some data from the National Medical Device Directorate. Figures showed that over half of the 500,000 medical devices made globally have Iranian versions. Domestic medical device production has developed by leaps and bounds since 2019. Productions have reduced imports by 10%. Meanwhile, exports of these items have also increased by 10% over the last 3 years. These figures come from the Medical Equipment Office of the Ministry of Health. The National Medical Device Directorate said Iran's medical device productions were worth nearly $3 billion in 2018. Current official figures have not been made public yet, but industry participants predict Iran's share of this market will be roughly $7 billion by 2025. The significant progress in medical device production has been largely due to government support for manufacturers and knowledge-based companies. Knowledge-based companies are peeling away the fingers of the U.S. monopoly on medical equipment and pharmaceuticals by manufacturing sanctioned items. Doing so has reduced imports and saved the country large amounts of foreign currency while meeting domestic needs. The U.S. government claims that the sanctions do not include medicine and medical equipment. But sanctions have made it virtually impossible for Iran to import vital medicine and medical devices. During tough times, at the start of the coronavirus pandemic, the Ministry of Health turned to knowledge-based companies for much-needed innovations to save people's lives. Companies, like the one we mentioned earlier, stepped up to the plate and began manufacturing items like ventilators. Since the beginning of the outbreak, domestic firms have been making testing kits, vaccines, medicine, and other strategic products. Currently, 5 coronavirus vaccines have been domestically manufactured, all of which have completed required clinical trials and are offered to the public after being approved by the Health Ministry. Iran is one of the few countries in the world that has the capabilities to produce vaccines. Not only has Iran fully met the country's needs, but it also has the capacity to export COVID-19-related treatments and testing products. Historically, each epoch has a particular industrial growth spurt. At present, what we are witnessing is another industrial shift, but this time it is towards knowledge-based products. These items have allowed several processes in our lives and industries to become faster and more efficient. For example, medical devices such as the hemodialysis machine have helped treat illnesses that were previously lost causes. The development of knowledge-based products is also important for the preservation of the environment and protecting it from harmful matter such as industrial waste. It's hard to imagine what our lives would look like without these items.
This time, we are going to venture through Iran's knowledge-based productions. We will uncover who makes these products and why they are important to all industries in the country. We will also check out how the government is supporting knowledge-based companies in developing new advanced technologies. This time, our journey took us to the city of Abhar in Zanjan province, where we visited Fanavaran Zistkore. This knowledge-based company was established nearly a decade ago and is active in three fields of laboratory work, research, and production of advanced machinery. The beating heart of this company is its advanced lab, which is trusted and certified by the National Environmental Protection Agency. Plus, it's part of the country's strategic technology lab network. Its labs are equipped with environmental monitoring technology as well as other instruments to carry out specialized research. Currently, its extensive lab cooperates closely with various industries, including hospitals in the field of environmental pollution monitoring, and acts as a research center for future innovations. This knowledge-based company provides many research services through its laboratories. For example, it previously carried out research projects in the field of oil refinery liquid waste. Another project was research on the treatment of synthetic resin sewage discharge using synthesized photocatalytic nanocomposites. These are used to gauge and remove pollutants in liquids for purification purposes. This company actively exchanges scientific information both nationally and internationally and regularly publishes its findings in academic journals at home and abroad. It collaborates with academic institutions and other research-based firms, providing them with test results. The government has been shifting more and more towards a knowledge-based economy that thrives on research. So knowledge spillover plays a big role in entrepreneurship, especially in cross-discipline research. Having labs in the country dedicated to advancing specialized research is very important. These types of knowledge-based companies help expand products in the market that may have been previously imported. It was the first company in the country to apply science for manufacturing wastewater treatment and purification. Its manufacturing workshops are massive, with a cumulative area of over a hectare to produce the giant water treatment systems. Its machinery is used in industrial settings where water is refined and returned to the system for reuse. Furthermore, its machinery has helped preserve valuable water resources nationwide. Some sectors that apply this technology are the food industry. In general, all industries that use water to produce their products are the end user of this company's water purification machinery. All of the technology produced here is manufactured along the lines of European standards. Its capabilities and products have been exported to regional areas, including Europe. As part of its future goals, this company wants to expand its product list and increase its exports. It's noteworthy that this company has created numerous job opportunities directly and indirectly. Among its staff, this company employs the capabilities of environmental engineers, among other experts, on its roster. Among its many competitive advantages, one can name the high-quality material that is used for productions of its water purification systems. But that's not all. This company has played a big role in creating technology that preserves all the fine qualities of water using advanced machines for purifications. Iran has been supporting the shift to a knowledge-based society by implementing plans that empower companies in their efforts to develop advanced technology. In fact, in 2010, the government passed laws promoting and supporting knowledge-based companies as part of a legal framework. This has paved the way for boosting innovation and scientific progress, leading to many social and economic advantages.
In 2013, there were only 50 knowledge-based firms and startups. That figure has grown over the years to well over 6,000 companies, according to the Vice Presidency Office for Science and Technology. A diverse range of products is manufactured by these firms to meet the country's rising domestic demands. This has saved the country millions of dollars by reducing expensive imports. Iran makes thousands of different types of specialized technologies. The amount of progress of knowledge-based firms in the fields of medical devices, energy, and information communication technology is the most noticeable. Aircraft maintenance, mining, petrochemicals, and pharmaceuticals are among other disciplines researchers are focusing on. And exports of knowledge-based products are estimated to reach over $1 billion by the end of this year. That's based on figures from the Science and Technology Office. The National Innovation Fund says tech firms and knowledge-based companies raked in over $5 billion in revenues last year. Some 40 knowledge-based companies are listed in the stock market as well. So far, the government has implemented numerous policies and plans to help support knowledge-based companies over the years. Some of these schemes include loans with low interest rates, tax exemptions, and easing commercial license issuances. The goal is to encourage the development of Iran's tech ecosystem and boost lucrative high-tech productions for exports.
Research steered by scientific investigation plays a huge role in product development. At its core, advanced technology is created by adding valuable features to items that have specialized uses. And academic and research institutions are the bridge between ideas and the commercialization of products. Several universities across Iran are providing services to help support knowledge-based startups.
High technology is a product of advancements in national academic and scientific research. Iran possesses a lot of intellectual prowess as a whole. Evidence of this can be seen by the high number of academic publications both nationally and internationally. Nearly 70,000 academic articles were published in 2020 alone to show for it. Figures from the International Web of Science show Iran was globally ranked 16th in 2019 for its citation work. Numerous knowledge-based companies that provide valuable research and products are born out of university, tech park, and trade zone incubators. These establishments provide platforms that support the creation of new businesses in various fields of advanced tech development as they start up. Incubators offer services to entrepreneurial teams to successfully execute their ideas and help them compete in national and global markets. Moreover, incubators are an access channel for services such as workspaces and facilities, technical and legal consultations. These are important for the sustainability of both existing firms as well as innovative startup businesses. The goal is to increase regional economic growth and diversify the national economy. Such development support also strengthens the tech ecosystem and improves investment opportunities. Electrical cables are an essential part of our lives. Cables bring power to our homes and offices, countries, and continents. They channel power and signals that make equipment hum and engines run, from oil rigs and broadcast studios to cars and trains, commercial buildings, and factory floors. Cables keep information flowing, facilitating a non-stop stream of words and images that transcend speed and geographical limits.
All right, everyone, it's time for me to pass it over to my dear colleague and friend who has prepared an interesting feature program for you all. Let's go check it out.
One of the amazing outcomes of the IT sector is that we no longer need to stand in long queues to get our daily affairs done, such as financial transactions or even getting a cab. But that amazing feature has not come about on its own. It's thanks to dedicated companies like ITSaaS that we enjoy the growing benefits of the IT sector. Launched in 2016, the fledgling Iranian brand offers a range of online services. Governments are increasingly shifting from physical to e-services to facilitate administrative procedures for their citizens. ITSOS has put this issue on top of its agenda and has pushed the envelope on e-government services. The Iranian brand has tasked itself to be entirely independent of foreign technologies. ITSOS says its products and services are developed from A to Z by Iranian experts. The zeros and ones are permeating every aspect of our lives, and the Iranian IT company says it seeks to build smart cities in Iran with the goal of building a smarter life with AI. With its 200 dedicated experts, ITSOS thinks big. It seeks to export its services to other countries to both find a foothold in the global market and promote e-services in the world. As it says, aside from making our lives easier, a smarter world translates into a greener environment.
For our final segment of the program, let's take a look at some news and developments in the realm of healthcare. From printing hip replacements to even hearts, there is so much more to discover with 3D technologies. Now, a group of Iranian scientists has built a three-dimensional scanner that can scan the entire body in less than 1 minute.
In seconds, the scanner collects information from millions of body parts by using infrared radiation. It then measures different physical parameters, such as height or weight, to provide other information. The scanner captures the position of the body in reality and registers data in virtual reality through light or laser beam. This technology is a precise way to monitor body changes.
The Iranian government has been stepping up its support for knowledge-based productions, and this year, the number of loans paid to knowledge-based firms has sharply risen.
Loans paid by banks were up by nearly 130% in the first 10 months of this year compared to the year before. The domestic banking system paid nearly $2 billion of facilities to 1,200 knowledge-based companies. That's based on figures from Iran's central bank. The government developed schemes to bolster their efforts in productions. Productions in these companies have already reduced several bottlenecks in various industries.
An Iranian knowledge-based company has produced insulin pens, which have been released into the market after months of sanctions-driven shortages.
The developer says they have commercialized the device, which is a long-acting insulin pen that patients inject every 24 hours. Currently, 1 million of these products received approval from the Ministry of Health and can be found in pharmacies across the country. The shortage in recent months created problems for scores of patients struggling to maintain their diabetes. Experts say U.S. sanctions have spurred a boom in the domestic manufacturing sector. This is while the government is diversifying the economy away from oil revenues.
That covers our program for today. Thank you for tuning in. I will see you next time for another edition of Bazaar.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kHz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird Eutelsat 3B and Iransat or BAT5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pastorday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.